This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature Health and Healing. We shall close with our segment on the Jubilee Year 2025. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has invited Catholics to learn from the Blessed Virgin Mary the virtue of trusting firmly in God's promises, testifying by their lives to the hope born of the gospel, and the value of offering hope to those who are struggling and the desperate. The Holy Father made the invitation on Wednesday at the midweek general audience he held in the Paul VI Hall here in the Vatican. Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis focused his catechesis at the Wednesday General Audience on the Blessed Virgin Mary and how hope filled her life and animated her actions. He reflected on the angel Gabriel's annunciation to Mary that she would bear the Son of God. In the village of Nazareth, a town in Israel never mentioned in the Old Testament, God's messenger greets Mary with an unusual greeting, Hail, rejoice, which is used in Scripture to announce the coming of the Messiah to the daughter Zion. It is an invitation, he said, to the joy that the Lord addresses to his people when the exile ends and the Lord makes his living and active presence felt. He added that the angel Gabriel also uses an endearing Greek term meaning filled with divine grace, which indicates that God has already dwelt in Mary's heart for some time and will continue to do so. Speaking off the cuff, Pope Francis noted that the angel reassured Mary not to be afraid. We too, he added, must not fear the uncertainties of life since the Lord walks with us. Pope Francis said the angel then announces Mary's mission to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, who will be king in the divine, spiritual manner. Upon hearing Gabriel's annunciation, Mary is shaken to the core by the invitation to bear God's Son. As the intelligent woman she is, said the Pope, she tries to understand, to discern what is happening to her. Mary, he said, does not look outside, but within. In the depths of her heart, he added, Mary is drawn to place her trust entirely in God. This decision, noted the Pope, reveals her desire to make room for God and take up the greatest mission ever entrusted to a human being. She places herself in service, he said. In conclusion, Pope Francis invited the faithful to learn from Mary how to hope in God's word so that each of us may become hospitable homes where hope flourishes. I'm Devin Watkins.
Before the midweek general audience, Pope Francis had received in audience members of the Hilton Foundation, whom he thanked for their charity towards the less fortunate and for the formation of the Catholic Women Religious. We have a report.
Established in 1944 by the famous hotelier Conrad Hilton, the Hilton Foundation focuses on improving the lives of disadvantaged and vulnerable people worldwide through grants, partnerships, and advocacy. Addressing its board in the Vatican on Wednesday, Pope Francis praised their passionate commitment to promoting the human dignity of those most in need in a world where poverty and exclusion continue to rise. He encouraged them to remember the essence of compassion as a shared human experience. Compassion, he said, is getting close to the suffering of others and to suffer with them. A significant part of the speech focused on the Foundation's support for women religious, a cause deeply valued by their founder, recalling its collaboration with Vatican officers to enhance the professionalism and outreach of nuns. The Pope highlighted the urgent need for the Church to invest more in the education and training of religious women. He pointed to the fact that in the past the Church allocated far less resources for the formation of sisters compared to clergy, based on the false perception of women and nuns as second-class citizens, and commended the foundation for helping to bring the Church out of this mindset.
La missione delle suore è di servire agli ultimi e non di essere le serve di qualcuno.
The mission of sisters is to serve the least among us. It is not to be servants to anyone, he said. At the same time, however, the Pope noted some progress towards the inclusion of women in decision-making positions, including in the Vatican, where several women have been appointed to leadership roles. Concluding, Pope Francis expressed his dream of a world where the discarded, the excluded, and the marginalized can be the agents of much-needed change in society, insisting on the need for compassion, closeness, and tenderness. I am Lisa Zengarini.
A conference organized by the Dicastery for Communication for Religious Sisters in the context of the Holy Year 2025 opened in Rome on Wednesday under the theme Weaving Communion Through Communication. It is attended by more than 100 religious sisters in the field of Catholic communication from different parts of the world who are sharing their experiences and approaches to communicating hope in the contemporary media environment. A medical charity, Doctors Without Borders, has issued a statement saying an armed group fired a rocket on Sunday which landed at the garage of Masisi General Referral Hospital in North Kivu Province in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where its members are offering service. The hospital was also attacked by small gunfire. Two people were slightly injured in the attack. Masisi is a battleground between government forces and the M23 rebels. Citing international law, the charity has appealed to the fighting factions not to target health and humanitarian facilities. That was the second attack last week against Masisi General Referral Hospital. In the first attack, two civilians were shot in front of the hospital, and one of them died. The Catholic Education Department of the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference will launch this year's National Education Week this coming Sunday, January 26th, whose objective is to celebrate the contribution of Catholic education to Ghana. The week-long celebration will be observed locally in each Catholic-founded secondary school and will be guided by the theme Catholic Education, the Catholic School Teacher, a Good Shepherd in Our Contemporary Time. The General Manager of Catholic Schools in Ghana, Mr. Francis Batajon, has issued a message calling upon teachers to embrace their role with renewed dedication, emphasizing the importance of imparting an education that integrates the fear of God, discipline, academic excellence, and moral uprightness. He appealed to teachers to instill a love of humanity among students and to cultivate an environment where Catholic values flourish. The Education Week is scheduled to close on Sunday, February 2nd, with the celebration of Holy Mass in each participating school. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The United Nations will launch an appeal this week for $910 million to help tackle a humanitarian crisis in northeastern Nigeria, the region which has been facing an Islamist insurgency since 2009 was hit by devastating floods last year. UN documents seen by the news agency Reuters showed that 7.8 million people need help in the three northeastern states of Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe. The appeal by the UN aims to help 3.6 million of them. Nigeria is also facing a cost of living crisis that has seen inflation accelerate to its highest level in nearly three decades. The UN has previously said Nigeria's northeast risks becoming a forgotten crisis as the humanitarian focus has shifted to crises elsewhere, such as Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan. A joint report by the government of Nigeria and the UN in November said the country faces one of its worst hunger crises, with more than 30 million people expected to be food insecure this year. Niger, Burkina Faso and Mali, three West African countries led by military juntas, have created a joint force that will soon be deployed in the Sahel region, Niger's defense minister said on Wednesday. The force of 5,000 personnel will be posted in the three countries to face rising extremist violence, Salifu Modi said in an interview on state television. Niger, along with its neighbor Mali and Burkina Faso, has battled for over a decade an insurgency fought by jihadi groups, including some allied with Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group. Following military coups in all three nations between 2020 and 2022, the ruling juntas have expelled French forces and turned to Russia for security assistance. Mr. Modi said the unified force will have its own personnel, as well as air, land and intelligence resources and a coordination system. The three countries have left the regional bloc ECOWAS, or the Economic Community of West African States, and created their own security partnership, known as the Alliance of Sahel States. The violence in Niger, Mali and Burkina Faso has killed close to 3,500 in the last 6 months, while 2.6 million are currently displaced, according to the UN Refugee Agency. Staying in the region, Ghana's new president, John Dramani Mahama, has appointed Larry Bevlo Lattay, a former national security chief, as envoy to the Alliance of Sahel States, formed by Niger, Mali and Burkina Faso, signaling his administration's intention to mend ties with the three countries. Diplomatic relations between Ghana and Burkina Faso broke down in 2022 after former president Nana Akufo-Addo alleged it had hired Russian Wagner mercenaries, saying their presence on Ghana's northern border was distressing. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, which began at the beginning of this month, is now in its third week. The month was instituted by the United Nations to raise awareness about the disease and to encourage women and girls to take advantage of the preventive measures. Cervical cancer is the fourth most common cancer among women in the world. According to the World Health Organization, more than 600,000 women develop the disease every year, and about 400,000 die from it. Now, what is cancer? Cancer refers to abnormal cells that develop, divide, and grow uncontrollably in an organ or a tissue of the body, and which have the potential to invade or spread to other organs of the body. And what is the cervix and cancer of the cervix? For the answer, here is Dr. Martin Origa, a gynecologist and cancer specialist.
The cervix is the lower part of a woman's womb, the upper part being called the corpus. Cervical cancer is a situation where one has an abnormally growing mass or tumor in the area of the cervix.
To add on what Dr. Origa has said, the cervix connects the uterus with the woman's birth canal, also known as the vagina. The cervix is made up of two parts and two different types of cells. The endocervix is the first part and leads to the uterus. It is covered by glandular cells. The second part is known as the exocervix and is the outer part of the cervix that opens into the vagina. It is covered by squamous cells. The area where the glandular and squamous cells meet is scientifically known as the transformation zone. It is in this transformation zone that most cervical cancers begin. So, what is the cause of cervical cancer? Here is Dr. Sharon Kapaule.
The necessary causative agent that we have is known as human papilloma virus, the HPV, which is predominantly sexually transmitted.
The human papillomaviruses are very resistant and very contagious. When they enter the cervix, the human body usually eliminates them naturally, but in certain cases, a small number of them can remain, multiply, and cause cancer. Dr. Origa has more.
95% of the women will be able to cure of this virus within 2 years, as long as their immunity is good. However, if their immunity is compromised, for example, if there is HIV, AIDS, if there is unmanaged diabetes, if a woman is on any immunosuppressive medication, the chances of that virus leaping from a docile state into an active one and actually causing cancerous changes begins to go up. In women who have HIV, AIDS, cervical cancer is up to 7 to 9 times higher than in women who are not HIV infected. Women who smoke, their immunity is affected within the cervical area. HPV persists in women who smoke. So smoking is a significant risk factor.
Cervical cancer develops in 4 stages. The higher the stage, the higher the probability that the patient will die from it. The disease has no early warning signs, but it is preventable. The most common way of preventing it is by vaccinating girls and women with the human papillomavirus vaccines, the HPV. Dr. Sharon Kapaule again.
HPV vaccine is basically given to girls between the ages of 9 to 14. Of course, we can give to women up to 45. The younger a girl is given the vaccine, the better the outcome. We've had studies which are showing a reduction in invasive cancer of the cervix. For the girls who are 12, 13 and below, you see that up to 80% reduction is seen.
Another way of preventing cervical cancer is by screening. The purpose of screening is to detect changes in the cells of the cervix, which, if not treated, may lead to cervical cancer. There are many types of screening, but the most common ones are the Pap test, also known as Pap smear, and the HPV test.
If you're not screening for cervical cancer, your odds of developing advanced disease are significantly high. But if you're screening regularly, every 3 to 5 years, chances as a healthcare system of picking out the microscopic changes are much higher. When these microscopic changes are found, you can be cured at levels of 100%.
Cervical cancer can be treated when it is in its early stages. Unfortunately, according to cancer experts in Africa, most women on the continent seek medical attention after the disease has advanced into the late stages, and thus with reduced chances of successful treatment. Experts note also that many women and girls in Africa do not take the HPV vaccine even when it is free. A few turn up for the first dose, but fewer return for the second dose. And that was Health and Healing for this week. Our thanks there to Dr. Sharon Kapaule, Zambian epidemiologist, and to Dr. Martin Origa, a Ugandan gynecologist and a cancer specialist.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello. Greetings from the studios of the Vatican Radio, and welcome to today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly journey with you through the events of the ongoing Great Jubilee Year of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, a sister of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother of Christ. And as always, I am your companion on this journey. In our previous program, we discussed events of the ongoing Jubilee Year with particular focus on the opening of the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican City. We are aware that apart from the traditional doors of the four major basilicas in Rome, which are opened every 25 years to celebrate the Jubilee year, Pope Francis also opened an extra door, the prison chapel of the Rebibbia prison, situated on the outskirts of the city of Rome, here in Italy. The idea is to include everyone on this journey of the Jubilee year so that no one should be left behind. By choosing to open the holy door at the Rebibbia prison, the Holy Father has shown concern for the suffering, especially those in prison. In the document introducing the Jubilee year, known as the Papal Bull of Indiction, the Holy Father speaks extensively about hope. The Latin title of this Papal Bull of Indiction is Spes Non Confundit, which in English means hope does not disappoint. In this papal bull, Pope Francis says, during the Holy Year, we are called to be tangible signs of hope for those of our brothers and sisters who experience hardships of any kind. I think of prisoners who, deprived of their freedom daily, feel the harshness of detention, lack of affection, and in more than a few cases, lack of respect for their person. I propose that in this Jubilee year, governments will undertake initiatives aimed at restoring hope to prisoners. In response to this humble request of our Holy Father, there is some good news. As we have been reporting in our news bulletin, the government of Cuba has responded to Pope Francis' call and is in the process of releasing 553 mostly political prisoners. In his Angelus last Sunday, Pope Francis called on more governments to make similar gestures. Still in his papal bull on the Jubilee, Pope Francis adds, in order to offer prisoners a concrete sign of closeness, I would myself like to open a holy door in a prison, a sign inviting prisoners to look to the future with hope and a renewed sense of confidence. Pope Francis has always had a soft spot for those suffering in correctional facilities. We recall that in the year 2015, the Holy Father visited the same Rebibbia prison's new complex on Holy Thursday, and he celebrated the Holy Thursday liturgy with the prisoners, even to the extent of washing their feet. So it was not surprising that the Holy Father's desire to open a holy door at the Rebibbia prison became a reality on 26th December 2024. On this day, the Feast of St. Stephen, he opened for the first time a holy door at the Rebibbia prison in Rome. This event marked a historic moment in the history of the Ordinary Jubilees and became a symbol of hope for all prisoners worldwide. The Holy Mass and the whole ceremony was a moving event which also highlighted Pope Francis's concern and closeness to all prisons of the world. During the rite of the opening of the holy door of the prison chapel, Pope Francis passed through the door, followed by Bishop Benoni Ambarus, the Auxiliary Bishop of Rome and Director of the Office for Prison Pastoral Care, and two inmates who represented all the prisoners. In his homily during the Holy Mass, Pope Francis said, I wanted to open this door today here. I opened the first one in St. Peter's, but this one is yours. It is a lovely gesture to open a door, but what is more important is what it means. It is about opening hearts, and this is what brotherhood does. Closed hearts and hard hearts do not help us live. He continued, the grace of a Jubilee is to throw open, to open, and above all, to open hearts to hope. Hope does not disappoint. Think about this. In bad times, we think everything is over and that nothing can go right, but hope never disappoints. The Holy Father then added, I want to tell you two things. First, remember that the rope is in your hands, attached to the anchor of hope. Second, open wide the door of your hearts. We have opened this door, but it is just a symbol of the door of our hearts. At the end of the Holy Mass, some prisoners and guards presented Pope Francis with gifts, a small recreation of the holy door. He also shook hands with all the people who were in the prison chapel. More importantly, he also sent out words of encouragement to all other prisoners of Rebibbia who could not attend the Mass and by extension remembered all other prisoners of the world. I think we could borrow a leaf from this action of our Holy Father Pope Francis, that wherever we are or wherever we find ourselves, perhaps we can do something for the prison in our community, even if it's just visiting. Well, this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. Join me next week at the same time, same station. I am still your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, let the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tomosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus. I love you, Africa.